ready. It's a Lockhart.
Hello and welcome to episode 148 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Pachko and Angie Han.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
We've got a special episode for you this week. We're going to talk about two movies. One of them is out in theaters, and you can actually go see it. The other weekend is probably one of the most highly anticipated movies of the year. Naturally, it is a superhero movie, and it is Logan, so that one does not come out until March 3rd, but we are going to do a non-spoiler discussion about it in this episode, so wait for that. Right now, we're going to start with our full review of Cure for Wellness. Here is the IMDb synopsis. An ambitious young executive is sent to retrieve his company CEO from an idyllic but mysterious wellness center at a remote location in the Swiss Alps, but soon suspects that the spa's miraculous treatments are not what they seem. I am so surprised that of all movies, IMDb offered an accurate synopsis of this one, because this movie goes off the rails in ways that I didn't expect, and I'm not going to say that it worked very well. Basically, what the IMDb synopsis says about the movie is what a lot of the movie is, and Dane DeHaan plays that young, ambitious executive who goes to find his CEO, and he gets stuck at this wellness center where he starts experiencing their treatments, and clearly things don't go well for him. So that is what they sell the movie to be, and that is what most of the movie is. And then Gore Verbinski starts taking risks. Very big risks, adding some very big twists, and I'm not going to say that he executes them well, and I don't think it works out as well as he intended. However, it works out well enough that it never takes away from the entertainment value of the film, and I don't know, I kind of give him a lot of credit for attempting such a bold, kooky twist there. I guess kooky is a good way to describe it.
I mean, I was, while you were saying that, I don't know if you saw my face, but I was giving you this look, because before the show started, you were like, yeah, I liked it, and then all you've talked about is how you're like, yeah, I'm not sure any of
well,
it worked.
I feel like Perry's afraid that she's like, and here they come. So I feel like she was putting up defenses before Angie and I crap on this, but I didn't hate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, a little bit.
I know what it is. It's that Perry and I have not agreed on a horror movie in legit months. So even though this is psychological thriller, I count that as a subset of horror.
The big shift is coming, though. Something's coming.
What big shift?
I think you're right. But we'll talk about that later, because yep. I don't want to spoil it. We'll talk about that later.
Tease. The big shift in that trend is coming. All right, Angie, what did you think about A Cure for Wellness now?
Angie's afraid.
Well,
Angie, it's fine. We'll talk about it later off podcast.
I feel like Perry's sitting here being like, it's coming. The change is coming. And I'm like, what is coming? I'm like kind of terrified, especially because I just saw this fucking movie last night.
It really sounds like we're planning something nefarious against Angie, because we know what's going on. And Angie's like, wait, what?
That's actually why I flew into New York this weekend. You better be looking over your shoulder now.
I fucking am now. What the fuck is wrong with you? All right, whatever. Anyway, so what I was going to say is that, it feels like a movie where he did whatever the fuck he wanted to do. And that's like a good thing and a bad thing, because there are definitely some things that he could have reined in, like the 2.5 hour running time.
Yeah.
Did it need to be 2.5 hours? Yeah, I'm not convinced. But there is something really thrilling to me about watching a movie that feels like it's exactly the movie that it wants to be. Like, it feels like the director didn't have to take any half measures or compromise. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of nuts to me that they were just like, sure, why not? Like, the studio was just like, yeah, okay, fine, we'll go with this. I think it's effectively very creepy. He's so good at building a mood. And there are definitely, like, some parts in this that, like, really made me squirm. And, like Perry, I don't know if all of the craziness kind of pays off, but it is a movie that the whole time, like, you know, especially in the second half as things build up and up, I was just kind of like, wait, what? What's happening? What? Okay. And, you know, that's like, not something I experience every day. So, yeah, I liked it overall. I don't know that I loved it. I definitely don't love it as much as The Ring, where, you know, which is the last horror movie that he did. But mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm glad I saw it. Christy?
Yeah, it's so, Gore Verbinski is interesting because he jumps from genre to genre to genre to genre, so it's always kind of hard to pin down what he's going to do. Like, he did Mouse Hunt, and then The Mexican, then a bunch of Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and then The Lone Ranger, Rango, and, like, they're interesting, especially when you look at them as, like, a collection of work. It's like, how did these things all happen? But for me, A Cure for Wellness, I liked the mood it builds. It's this, it really wants to take its time setting up the world and this atmosphere and this weird wellness center. But then like, I felt like the screen time is indulgent in that they keep kind of having the same beat, where the main character figures out something weird, and then is like, that's so crazy, and then he's like, I need to get out of here, and then he's like, oh, maybe I should figure out what's going on, I need to get out of here, and it's like, it just felt like we kept having that beat, so I started getting bored in the second act. And then the third act, and I won't get into spoilers, but the third act, like, totally jumps into being a different movie. And I said in my review, I just found that really confusing. It literally felt like when you fall asleep during a movie, like, on your couch, and then all of a sudden another movie comes on, and you wake up because all of a sudden it's loud and violent. Like, that's what watching the third act felt like, where I woke up in another movie. And for me, it was just, like, I liked elements of this, but as a journey, I wasn't into it. And that's also partially because the Dane DeHaan character is such a dick that I don't care what happens to him.
Huh. See, like, one of the things that I, like, enjoyed about his character was that he's not a good person, but he's not really a bad, bad person either. Like, I didn't feel like I was supposed to, like, hate him. He's, like, just kind of like he's, like, dickish, but in a way that I did not find to be, like, you know, exaggerated or... Like, yeah, he was still someone that I could kind of root for because he just felt like a person.
I thought he needed to be like that also, just because Mia Goth's character is almost just like the antithesis of what he is.
Right.
So it's like almost the whole point of his journey. And a big part of the reason why I started rooting for him is because of how she rubs off on him and how he starts to interact when he's around her. And that kind of softens him and makes me like him a little more. But Dane DeHaan, I think he's just an excellent lead. I can't believe he wound up just being able to carry a movie. Because I could really, even though, again, I think, Christy, actually the way you described, you know, falling asleep and waking up and basically thinking you're in another movie for the most part is a pretty accurate way to describe this experience, and it does not need to be 2.5 hours, but if I'm sitting there for 2.5 hours watching a somewhat batshit movie at points, I don't mind if Dane DeHaan's at the center of it.
Is there any better casting than Dane DeHaan as the lead of this movie? Because, like, they keep telling him, you're not well, you're not well. And I think Dane DeHaan,
looks
I'm not
sickly.
Saying he's a good-looking guy, but he just has a sickly face. Like, he was born with that face. Like, he's the kind of guy that, you know, if he gets, like, 8 hours of sleep and drinks lots of water and has, like, a beach vacation, he'll still look tired. Pale as death and, like, just
it's not to say he's not good-looking, because I feel like some... Because there are definitely Dane DeHaan's fangirls and fangboys out there, but I get what you mean.
I think he's good-looking. He looks like he's on the verge of death basically all the time. And then they also dyed his hair really dark so that his skin looks even paler. And it's just actually kind of alarming to look at him a lot of the time. But yeah, so while we're talking about the casting, Jason Isaacs in this is so perfect. Like, he's kind of like, I feel like he's kind of, you know, the roles that he's mostly known for are roles where he plays this kind of character, but there's a reason he keeps getting typecast as villains. He's really good at it.
Mm-hmm. It for me, he's very good in it, and absolutely. And he even manages that weird third act corner where all of a sudden things get super bizarre.
Yeah.
But, like, because Jason Isaac does not play good guys, as soon as he shows up, like, I feel like a certain element of suspense is gone. Because it's like, if you're supposed to be wondering whether this guy is actually seeing the things he's seeing or if he's crazy, it's like, I'm sorry, Jason Isaacs is here. Nefarious shit is going on. Like, that's like having
you're
Ben
like,
Mendelsohn
oh, we're
show
supposed
up
to
and
trust
be like,
Lucius
don't
Malfoy,
worry, he's not
okay.
the bad guy. You're like, bullshit, he's the bad guy. We know he's
I
the bad
guess,
guy.
I guess, but that's the whole premise of the movie is that, you know, something weird and wrong is going on in this facility. So having Jason Isaacs there made it feel appropriate. It made it all come together.
But if you're tipping your hand that early, the movie doesn't need to be this long. Like, you're either tipping your hand or you're not. And it's like, oh, I don't know. Is he evil? I guess he's fucking evil. Come on. It's fucking Lucius Malfoy. What are we doing?
So I feel like we all agree that it's a little too long, but I do feel like, and it sounds like we also all agree that, you know, as a whole, we're not entirely sure it all hangs together. But I do want to say, at least for me personally, like, moment to moment, this movie, like there's some really, like, really interesting, creepy imagery. There's, like, it's, like, a gorgeous movie to look at. Just, like, especially in the first half, I was like, I know shit is going to go so bad, but this spot is so fucking gorgeous. I want to live there. And then even after the end, I was like, I don't know. Were the eels, like, something I would... Oh, shit. Was that a spoiler?
No, eels
no,
are not a trailer.
They've been promoting those eels like crazy.
They had them at the press conference, actually. At the
I saw
thing.
Your
Did
pictures.
You yeah, yeah. You know what I'm talking about, go to my Instagram. It's at Christy Puchko. They had a water tank with eels in it. And then the water that you got was obviously not actually eel water, But it was really funny because still no one would... Well, actually, you know what? I don't know that. Angie's giving me a look, and I should actually say, my journalistic due diligence, no one I saw actually attempted to get water from the tank, because the very idea of it being like, here's some eels and water, also enjoy the water, like, no one wanted a part of that.
I probably would have drank it.
I would have drank it.
I had a bottle of water instead. I was like, I don't... They were cute, though. They were like, they had different kinds of eels, and one of them had little flippers near its face, and he was adorable. Aww.
This is not where I thought this conversation was going, but okay. I like cute animals. I can get behind a cute eel.
I was actually mimicking that for the people listening and who are not on the video chat. Just imagine me taking my fingers and jazz handsing right next to my face.
Okay, so just to wrap things up a little bit here. In the end, when I walked out of this 2.5 hour movie, I looked at my watch and I'm like, wow, did I really need to be there for 2.5 hours? However, no. While I was actually watching the movie, there was never really a point where I'm like, oh, like, where is this going? And looking at my watch. So I was never really feeling it while I was watching it. It was just after the fact when I thought about what I'd experienced over the last 2.5 hours. There just seemed to be points where they could have trimmed it down. But the running hour didn't kill it for me. The third act gets super weird and crazy. It doesn't work as well as he intended. But overall, I was entertained enough. This is a really, like, oddly creepy and beautiful creative world. Dane DeHaan is excellent. I love the whole cast of this. And I had a good deal of fun with it.
I feel like, yeah, for all its missteps and for the fact that it's a little too long, like, it's an interesting movie. Like, I think it's got enough to it that I would recommend it to a lot of people. I would warn them, you know, it's 2.5 hours, so please plan for that. But yeah, like, I mean, there, I walked out being like, yeah, I can't, because like, you know, when you watch as many movies as we do, we walk out a lot of movies being like, Jesus Christ, I've seen that movie 15 times in the past month. I did not walk out of Cure for Wellness feeling like that at all. I was just like, well, I haven't seen a movie like that maybe ever, like, and that's to its credit. I mean, so I really feel like it's an experience worth having. I'm not gonna be like, oh my god, it's the best movie, or you like have to run to see it. But like, yeah, if you like kind of like, if you like things that are like interesting and weird and like you kind of just want to try it out, yeah, it's, I think it's worth checking out.
I do think the marketing is accurate, because the marketing is selling it less on what the plot is and more on a kind of vibe. And I feel like if you're into the vibe of the marketing, you'll probably be into the movie. I think, yeah, like my co-hosts have said, I think it's a little too long. I personally wasn't very scared or, you know, filled with dread watching this movie, but I appear to be the minority on that. So I feel like if you're watching the trailers and you're freaked out, then go see it. I also think eels are cute, so that's kind of a problem.
You didn't freak out during two scenes in particular, because, I mean, you guys probably know which scene scared me the most, but...
Yes, that scene, the scene that you're referring to, that I know what you're referring to, yes, that scene is very, very upsetting, very visceral.
I know.
So yeah, but we should move on to our next thing.
Okay. All right.
If you're a longtime listener of the show, you know that Perry's afraid of two things, and one of them is in this movie.
Figure it out. All right. So now we're moving on to, and the dogs barking are not tipping off anything, so that has nothing to do with what happens in A Cure for Wellness. I hope they stop. So let's move on to Logan. All right, Christy, you want to introduce that one?
The dogs are really stoked about Logan. Logan. Here is the IMDb plot synopsis. In the near future, a wary Logan cares for an ailing Professor X in a hideout on the Mexican border. But Logan's attempts to hide from the world and his legacy are upended when a young mutant arrives being pursued by dark forces. That's pretty good. It's like vague.
Go IMDb.
But I mean,
they're having a good week.
Yeah, well done, IMDb. So this is from James Mangold, who also directed The Wolverine. And a lot of people are talking about this may be Hugh Jackman's last movie in the role.
Hugh Jackman is talking about
this
being Hugh
Jackman's saying,
last
movie. He's like, I'm done. And if that's true, I don't really care or want to get into. I just want to say this would be a beautiful farewell to the character. I've been excited about this movie since they announced it because I really liked The Wolverine. And then when I saw the first trailer, the one with the Johnny Cash version of Hurt on it, I was shaking. It was just those images were very emotional. And then Angie and I got to see the first 30 minutes a few months ago as part of the Fox Shirk showcase, which was so exciting. And the first 30 minutes, even though they weren't like finalized, as in like they didn't have finished visual effects and stuff, I was riveted and I was really excited about it. So finally getting to see the full film, I was so ready when we got to see this. And I love this. I think it's absolutely, to me, the best Wolverine movie, the best X-Men movie, and probably one of the best superhero movies I've ever seen. And it's just because they really dug into the characters, and because it has an R rating, they're allowed to, they don't have to pull punches with a character who is inherently very violent. And I think that not only allows for action scenes that are authentic in that they show the kind of damage that would be done to this character and to the character would do to other people, but also show you why this, like, why guilt and remorse weigh on him, is because when you do things like he does to people in this movie, that would stay with you.
Yeah, one of the reasons that, I mean, I agree with you on basically everything you just said, and to me, one of the reasons it's such a good superhero movie is that it doesn't feel like your typical, stereotypical superhero movie. So it kind of, you know, like, you can do it, like, theoretically, you can do anything with a superhero. They're just a character, you can put them in all kinds of situations, but, you know, we've seen a bunch of movies, enough to know that most of them follow a very similar formula, especially the Marvel movies. So one of the things I loved about Logan is that it did not feel like a movie that felt beholden to that formula, and by kind of disregarding it, I think it kind of expands the parameters of what a superhero movie, like a mainstream superhero movie, can be. I'm not saying like Logan invented the concept of like a superhero movie that doesn't follow the formula. It's just that, like I said, the films we've seen are so formulaic, and I am kind of hoping that this will encourage other people making superhero movies to kind of think outside the box of, like, you know, the arrogant hero taking down a peg and then the big climactic
hole in the sky ending.
Yeah, exactly. So that was one of the things I loved about it. That's actually one thing that I think that's one way that I think it actually improves upon The Wolverine, which was James Mangold and Hugh Jackman's last Wolverine movie together. Because that was one that did feel like it kind of did that for the first two thirds, where it tried to be something different, and then the last third just kind of went straight back to the formula.
Yeah, and then it was like, here's the CGI villain, and bah!
Yeah, so that was one thing that I really liked about it. And at the same time, though, it's not like it's pretending it's not a superhero movie. They, you know, if you've seen the trailers, like, X-Men comics are actually in this, which allows the film to explore in a really interesting way kind of the concept of, like, modern myth-making and, like, you know, legends and what superheroes mean to people.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, I can't think of a more, if this really is Hugh Jackman's last time in the role, I cannot think of a more fitting way for him to go out.
I am shocked how much I love this movie.
Yay! We all haven't liked a movie together in such a long time!
I know! It feels so good! This is easily one of my favorite comic book adaptations of all time now. I can't stop thinking about what happens in this movie, largely because of everything you just laid out. This isn't the typical formulaic superhero movie. Just the way it lets you get into his head and understand, and just watching them, actually. Wait, I want to backtrack a little. So the cool thing about this movie, or one of the coolest things, is that it can function as a standalone movie. Someone mm-hmm. can watch it, enjoy it, and understand it who has never seen a single X-Men movie, has never seen Wolverine on the big screen. But then if you've seen past movies, certain other things will have different feelings. Like, for example, I had a really hard time looking at Patrick Stewart this whole movie.
Yeah.
I mean that in a good way. Just having seen every single X-Men film, it broke my heart.
No, absolutely. Like, clearly with the makeup design. I mean, he's supposed to be in his 90s, and, like, he looks rough.
The makeup design, it was the makeup design, it was his performance, and watching Wolverine wither away too.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it really, really hurt.
I mean, the design on Wolverine in this, like, this is going to get nominated for an Oscar next year for makeup, absolutely, because the aging that they did to Hugh Jackman's face and the scars, like, and that's another thing, because I agree that I think you could watch this as a standalone. If you've never seen an X-Men movie before, I think you would still have a very emotional ride with this, but because, one, we've watched these characters for 17 years, there's something that hits you so hard when you see the way they've changed in this movie. And, like, there's a scene very early on, it's in the trailer, so this is not a spoiler, where you see Logan's back, and he has scars, there are scars on his face, and you, one, understand that he's not healing the way he used to, and two, you see all these signs of abuse that have been over his body over the years, and, like, it hurts to watch him. It's like, because it feels like someone you know. It feels like a friend, and you're seeing them in so much pain. And I know I'm not making this sound like a fun movie, but what's great about it is that as dark as these moments are, like the other X-Men movies, there's always that moment of hope, because this is Wolverine in a moment where it's like a Western, and my favorite Westerns are the one where the cowboy initially is like, I don't want to be a part of this. This isn't my world. I don't need to deal with this. And that's what Wolverine does at the beginning of the movie when they're like, there's this girl and she needs your help. And he's like, no, like, I'm out. No, I have my own shit to deal with. But because it's that, you know, like, but then he can't say no to this. And so it's that moment of like, why do we fight? When things are so hard and when you're so tired, why do we fight? And watching this movie, it spoke to me and it hit me so hard. And I laughed and I cried. And watching Logan mm-hmm. and Laura, who's the little girl in the movie, like,
you
bond.
You sound like you're about to cry right now.
I know.
It's so
you
good.
Look
I love
like,
this movie so
you
much.
Look like you're about to cry.
I'm like, I'm really choking up. It's just, it was, because it's like, when I watched X-Men, which for me was like my first real exposure to those characters, I had read a couple of the comics when I was a kid, but they never really hit me. And then when I watched the first X-Men movie, Logan and Rogue meant so much to me because, like, their bond and that kind of father-daughter feel was so moving, and so, you know, it grabbed me from the start. So to reflect that in this film, I thought was a really smart thing thematically, and also a really nice way to kind of create the end for this character. And I mean, I think right now this is probably my favorite movie that I've seen this year. And I know it's early, I know we're only in February, but I've already seen a fuck ton of movies this year.
It's definitely one of my favorite, and it also just highlights the fact that Hugh Jackman is an incredible actor. He has insane chemistry with every single person in this movie, from someone like Patrick Stewart, who he's known for a very long time, to Daphne Keene, the young girl playing Laura X-23, and then random people that just pop up in more supporting roles. You mm-hmm. could just see him. I just get the feeling that what he is giving them as an actor brings out so much more in them. But I mean, the shining relationship in this is him and Laura, is Logan and Laura. It is so freaking moving watching them bounce off
and never like, cute. When, like, I love that they
and
don't
make
precocious.
You can go back and track character arcs for both of them and relationship arcs too. And when you have things like that working together, it just intensifies every single beat of their story so much. I am blown away by what that young girl was able to accomplish in what I believe is her first feature film, when her lines are limited and she is expressing so much. And the action in this is some of the best action, hands down, that I've ever seen in a superhero movie of all time, if not any other action movie. And, you know, the R rating is a very big deal for this because, you know, it's after Deadpool, it's like, now we're getting another R-rated superhero movie, and look at that. However, and this thing is super violent. There's blood and gore all over the place.
Because
what I love about that,
he punches through skulls a lot.
It's, oh my God, a lot. And it's all necessary. That's the best part of it. That's the best kind of gore, is gore and gore action and violence that, you know, gets the adrenaline pumping and gets that rise out of you where you do get excited to see action. But at the same time, it's validified through what happens in the story and what that person is about and what those characters' abilities are. There's so many things to say about this. Oh, I'm still so, like, I really can't stop thinking about it. When I went home from my screening, I was so exhausted, like, so emotionally drained. There were two points in this movie where I didn't just tear up. I freaking cried. I cried, and then I went home, and I just laid awake all night thinking about everything I had just experienced.
We should wrap up, but we will revisit this when it comes out. It's just that since the reviews are up and we're all so excited about it, we wanted to talk about it soon. So, I mean, I think it sounds like we can all agree, the three of us are all agreed,
buy
go watch
now.
Logan, especially if you like Wolverine or the X-Men at all. And then come back in like 2 weeks when it actually opens and we can talk about stuff, including some major spoilers.
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right, and with that, that is all the time we have for you this week. Thank you so much for listening. Now, please go on over to iTunes where you can rate, comment, and subscribe. We have our website, popcornprosecco.com. We are also on Twitter at popcornprosecco. We also have a Facebook page where it would be super nice if you liked us there. And then all three of us are all over the internet. Angie, you want to take it first?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
Christy?
You can find me on Twitter at Christy Puchko. That's KRISTYPUCHKO. I write all over the web, but you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com. And listen to me Saturday nights on It's Eric Nagel on Sirius Radio. You can look It's Eric Nagel up, and they have all the details on when we're on the air.
And you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at PNemroff. I write for Collider.com. I'm on the Collider Videos YouTube channel. And that's a wrap on this episode. Thank you guys for listening. See you next week.
Get the hell out of here.